There's a lot of papers up here. Must be a business meeting night or something like that. All right. It sure is good to see each of you tonight. And I hope you have a good day. And fellas, I hope you didn't forget to do what you're supposed to do this morning and have a card ready and all. Am I getting anybody in trouble? No. I was actually with my crew, some of my work crew yesterday, and I told them, I said, don't forget. Now, today's the day, yesterday being, that you got to get everything ready. So I think my crew was in line. I did my part anyway. I reminded them. So that's all I can do sometimes. So, but no, it's good to see you, you know. And I tell you, love is a beautiful thing. The sad part is how Satan's tried to pervert it, twist it into meaning something that it doesn't mean. But when you thought about it today, different times during the day, and the message is not on love directly, but it's hard to get through the Word of God without seeing the undertone of love all through it. But you really think about the love of Christ and how much He loves us, that'll lift you up, even on a bad day. That can lift you up. You think about what He's done for us, the ultimate price that He paid for us, and just always there for us. You know, He was there for those in the Old Testament also. We claim Him and love Him for what He's done on the cross and what we have in the age of grace. But, you know, we've been looking through in the Old Testament to get to see a little bit of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament tonight. And so if you will, let's turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews 11. We'll start there and read, and then we'll switch back over. This is kind of the tough part of ending out, because these last few verses in Hebrews, it covers a whole lot of information, and I'm not going to cover that. It talks about a lot of different situations that people can reflect on. I thought about maybe trying to go back through and do each one of those individually, but I decided to do it the way Paul did it, and just kind of go over it at a glance, if you will, and then we'll kind of keep on moving through. But I hope it's been a blessing to you. Honestly, it really has been to me. I've been able to recount some messages maybe that I've heard throughout the years, and it's kind of helped me realign my mind. We finishing out tonight with the death of Joshua. He has passed on. We talked about him and what he experienced, the part there of crossing over the Jordan River, going into the land of Jericho, and then also the account there of Rahab and the harlot, and what she experienced, the relief that she experienced there. And tonight we're just going to go over a couple, and it's probably just kind of outlining a few things, maybe some you hadn't necessarily heard of, but it would be good for you to go back and read and study, because it does continue on the thought of what the Lord has throughout time, what God has throughout time delivered His people from. Something I do want to say, again, this came to my mind as I was studying, is in talking about claiming the promises of God, it's a promise that He's made to you. It's not a promise that you or I have made up. That's something to be aware of. The promises that we have from Him are in His Word and through His Word, not something that we make up in and of ourselves or think that we won't or try to pray to happen. But if you really look at the promises of God, it's what He promised and made to people. It was a covenant that He made to people, and He always saw it through. You think about the Abrahamic covenant, even where it was a one-sided deal. The Lord said, I'm going to make this covenant myself, and it can't be a contingency on somebody else. It was His direct promise, and He saw it through. But we see the reward system of remaining faithful. This would be Faith Part 18, and I'm going to entitle it Obtained a Good Report, because that's kind of how this ends out in summarizing for everybody. And I kind of want to direct it to us also, because you'll see how it comes through through today. I mean, it's a really good crossover from what you see in the Old Testament all the way into the New Testament, even up to today. And I want us to see that. But let's read these verses here. Hebrews 11, we'll start at verse 32 and read through 40, and we'll get through. And again, we do have a short business meeting tonight, and then also prayer time. We see here, Hebrews 11, 32, it says, And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of the Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel of the prophets, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you help us tonight to gather our thoughts, gather our minds, Lord, around your word, our hearts. God, that we could take it and grow from it, Lord, not just rush through it too hurriedly, God, but gain from it what you'd have for us to see. Just so many things in the lives of your people, the people Israel, the people in the church here today, God, just the many miracles and deliverances, God, that you provided for them, for us. And Lord, we just thank you so much for these remembrances, these reminders, God, all throughout your word. We see so many things in the Old Testament that we look at, but we need to slow down and remember and know that those were true accounts that happened, God, that changed the lives of people. As they were living day to day, the choices they had to make from day to day, God, you surrounded your spirit around them, God, and let them make the decision, but also reap the reward of faithfulness. God, I pray that you help us in our church. These, what I absolutely believe to be our last days, God, just to help us to remain faithful, God, to your word, to your stand, and stay in there for you, God. It's that important. Our young people, our young couples, also on our hearts, we think of them, Lord, just our church and just the church, God. And I pray that you help us tonight. Help me, Lord. Help me to recall what you'd have me to. Help me to speak clearly and say what you'd have me to, Lord. Guide my heart and my mind. And be with our lost people in our church also, Lord, and those that are in need and those that are sick and not able to be here, God. We thank you so much for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see here, he kind of leaves off here in verse 32 saying, what shall I more say? It's kind of it's an argument really in a way. He's tried to recount so many different things. And I was looking at this and thinking, you know, to myself, if I was trying to encourage somebody, could I recount that much of the Bible? He covers, Brother Tim, pretty much most of the Old Testament. And trying to remind the Hebrews of who God is. I mean, that's what this is about. Again, let's not forget that and who he's talking to. I absolutely believe this is directed to the Hebrews, and I believe it's during a time that they need to see the Lord most and understand who he is. And he's reminding them throughout all of their history, which they should know, these are the things, these are the events that God has delivered you, your people, from, and you need to recount that now. You know, if we are facing things and going through things in our life, this should be an encouragement to us not to just read it and kind of go by. These people obtained a good report because of their faith. You know, that's one of the things that I really want to drive home, the importance of believing it and just standing by it even when it doesn't look like it's possible. I think that is what these folks faced, and what really amazes me, Sister Marilyn, too, when I look at this is how God even changed it to where if the odds looked like it was going to be in the other person's favor, the other land's favor, he would change it. It was always, remember, it's not in you, it's not in your flesh, it's in your faith toward me. That's the reminder that we see through all of this. That's where it's applicable to you and I here tonight. Let's go to Judges chapter number, let's start with number 6, and I'm going to be kind of moving around just a little bit here because it's the way he accounts it. He accounts Gideon, he accounts Barak, he accounts Samson, Jephthah, Samuel, David, and what is so good about this, what I was thinking about David, is how we are going through that on Sunday school. So basically, what we would have done possibly here on Wednesday nights is actually taking place on Sunday school. So I invite you to come and take part in Sunday school, because it just ties right in. But we see in Judges chapter number 6, and talking about Gideon, and I've not necessarily studied him out myself until now just a little bit, but again, remember, Joshua has gone on, just as you see with Moses, my servant is dead. Now Joshua is dead, and now they're moving on to the judges. And now we start with Gideon. And if you remember how the Judges goes, there's just this ebb and flow to it. It's just mountains and peaks, mountains and peaks. And I think that's kind of how our lives can be in this day and time. And also recall what we talked about on Sunday morning about living the Christian life. We want to stay here as much as we can. You have that good median life that you're trusting in the Lord. You're staying here. I know outside events and things happen, and the children of Israel, they would get very calm and very confident that things are going good. And then they would kind of start slipping down. They would go into idolatry, kind of let everything go. And I'm really concerned in this day and time, and I know that it probably goes without saying, but I'm going to say it, that I really feel that we are in a stage of that right now. I think people have tried to stay in the fight and make a stand for so long, but it just feels like we're kind of getting outnumbered, and it just seems like I'm just tired of fighting. I kind of see that with folks, and it's just all these things are being thrown at us, and then there's the legal system that protects this and that and covers this and that, and you got to know what the law is versus what this is and that is. But I want us to know that regardless what man's law is, we are held accountable to God's law first. The Bible says to live peaceably. By all accounts, what you can do. But I tell you, when there's a conflict, you're supposed to stand there with the word of God. And what happened, and the way this flow would go, is that Israel would get themselves in a mess, and then they would start crying out for help. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. America needs to be saying right now, Lord, help me. Send a Gideon. That's what we need. In studying this and seeing this here and how things are going, people that are brave enough to stand up against what's wrong and what's going on and just staying in there for the Lord and not just feeling like, oh, there's nothing I can do. We can still stand for the Lord. But we see Gideon is called here about chapter 6, and the Midianites had oppressed, and the Lord had allowed it to take place because Israel was living so wicked. And what the Lord would allow to happen is that their adversaries take them over. Now, how humiliating would that be? But you see, God didn't honor their wicked ways. You see, the world today would have you to think that God is going to honor you regardless what you do, and that's not the case. God didn't send his son Jesus to die for our sins so we could just wallow around in it and stay in it. That's not how that works. Everybody in the Word of God that accepted Jesus Christ changed after they met Jesus Christ. They didn't stay the same old way. Every single one of them. They accepted him. You see a difference. And so the children of Israel here are crying out and asking for help. And the Lord sends someone strong here, sends Gideon to help them. 6:1 it says, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And as you come through, you'll see verse 4, and they encamped against them and destroyed in the increase of the earth, till thou come into Gaza, and the left no substance, for Israel neither sheep nor ox nor ass. They were in a very bad shape. And as you come on down, and again, I'm not trying to go too hurriedly, but I want us to kind of get through this. And verse number 6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. It came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, recounting to them exactly what he had done. Remember what I brought you from. Generation to generation forgets that, and I think that's the fault of us as adults not relaying things to our young people. If we would relay it the way it's supposed to be relayed, they wouldn't forget it. But you'd see that's kind of how it would go up and down. People would forget after time. You think about Nineveh. They were delivered. You get over in there and you read a little bit over, the next chapter over, then they're completely destroyed because just a generation later, they didn't follow the Lord anymore. They betrayed him. And it says, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all the oppressed and drave them out before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. They got caught up, other gods, had fear of those other gods and not reverencing their God, the God. And there came an angel of the Lord that sat under an oak tree, which was in Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash and the Abizabarite, Azarite, if I can get that out, and the son of Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So you have what we would refer to as a theophany. This is the Old Testament time of Jesus Christ coming to visit with somebody. He came himself and visited with Gideon. See, Gideon was to be the leader here, and Gideon wasn't out front like a front runner, like you would think. Usually, if they would have a wine press, it would be up high where the air could blow away. They would thrash the wheat. They'd throw it up in the air. The wind would blow it away. The wine presses were down low because you wouldn't want to carry all the grapes and everything to the top of the mountain for no reason. But you see where he was threshing the wheat here. He's doing it in secret. He's trying to hide the grain from the Midianites. He was afraid. See, he was kind of living in fear, but the Lord come to help him and to send him for help. And now we see some things. I want us to look over in chapter number 7. This is where it gets real interesting. You see Gideon's humble beginning, where he started here. But chapter number 7, let's read verses 1 through 7. It's kind of interesting how things go from here. It says, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, and that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. You see how God changes things. If we're not careful, people, mankind, would try to think, all we got to do is have more people than they have. We try to do things in the flesh. Just like Brother Mike, our lesson on Sunday, talking about the counting of the people, the census. They wanted to see, boastfully, how many people they had, how big our army is, so we can post that and talk big about ourselves. But God knows us, God knows them, and knew them and how they were. And he didn't want them to have a way to have a vain display of boasting in themselves. He said, there's too many. If you win this battle right now with this many people, you will think you've done it. Isn't that amazing? How many times in life have you faced something that you really kind of get to the end of the rope and you're saying, the only person that can do this now, the only way this can be accomplished now is if God does it. That's not a bad place to be. That's where you're dropping the flesh off. He didn't want people to trust in their own flesh. He wanted them to see that it was their God. It was him that was doing this. It says, now therefore go to and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return to and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. So right off the bat, you had a lot of people said, I'm out. That happens a lot in this day and time. People just count the cost, maybe, and they say it's not worth it. You say, really? You think people do that today? If we didn't, the church would be full even on Wednesday night. If we were counting the cost of things that I've seen and witnessed, if we're counting the cost of our children, counting the cost of our community and what have you, people would be here tonight and their children would be here with them. See, that's a mean thing to say. It's a truthful thing to say. I've been to the hospital in different places where bad things have happened, and had people, Lord willing, been in there for the Lord, some of those things wouldn't have happened. God protects people. That hasn't changed. That doesn't change. and just bad decisions and things that go on throughout time, it breaks your heart. Brother Terry, the hardest thing I've faced probably as a parent, as an officer, as a person, as a school board member, and just as a person in general, is to say, you really don't need to do this, and a person do it. And then they reap the consequences of that. It breaks my heart. It hurts. It's not a bragging right or anything like that at all. It's just when you care about people, you don't want to see them make bad decisions. You want to see them do what's right, and it hurts really bad when people don't listen. But it says here, verse 3 again now, therefore go to and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And returned the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. I like this too. It kind of reminds me of the prophets of Baal there with Elijah and what he was doing there. It kind of reminds me of that. But it says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. Now I want to give us two visuals there, because I always slow down when I read this, and I'm fascinated by it. Now you can read commentaries and think this or think that, but in my mind I try to visualize, Brother Allen, why the Lord did it that way. So you had two groups of people. You had some groups of people that would put their hand down like this and keep their head up and lap it as a dog would. Not that a dog would bring it up like this, but a dog would, keeping their head up is what he's saying. He'd lap it. Then you had other people that would just get down on their knees and just put their face down in the water. Not really paying attention. Now, this is just my way of thinking. You know, if you're going into a battle or you're wanting to be observant, I think the thing would be to keep your head up, paying attention to what's going on. I don't know anybody that has really, honestly, stuck their head in the sand, so to speak, and that ended out very well for them. And that's, again, that's just me. The Lord can do what he wants to, how he wants to, but this is what he was saying here. This is how we're going to decide who you take with you and who you don't. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, there were 300 men. So just 300 of them. And all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees and to drink the water. That's a lot. I've got it written down here in my Bible. Did some math here. So out of 135,000 people, only 300 actually brought it up to this. You know, I say that to say this. If you look around and the people beside you aren't doing what you're doing, that doesn't necessarily mean you're doing the wrong thing. Do what the Lord tells you to do. Do what he's telling you to do and stay true to that. So what you see here, 135,000 divided by 300 would be about 450 to 1. You had 450 people doing it one way to one person doing it a different way. It's kind of how it is, I see, in this day and time. But I hurry along to say this here. He goes on, and you have it over. I'm just going to kind of read over. That's how he picked the people to go. And then we see over in verse number 16, and he divided these 300 people into three teams. He breaks them down even further. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, ye shall do. So you got three different groups of 100. They all have trumpets. And they're going to, and Gideon said, you do as I do. You do what I do. When I blow the trumpet and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets. So on every side of all the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men were with him, came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle, which when they had newly set the watch, they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and then cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Now I like this part very well. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. They fled from him. You had 300 putting those thousands to running. I mean, that's, nobody could boast in their flesh, just like you go back to Jericho. Nobody could boast in their flesh and what they had done there. Noah kind of went through that hurriedly, but I want to just go through that part about Gideon. Go back and read these accounts through Judges. He also mentions in Hebrews, he mentions Barak. It's a real popular name, isn't it? Every time I hear that, I know where my mind goes. But Judges 4:6 through 5:31, they were delivered from the Canaanites. And you get over to Judges 5:1. I was going to go there. I know it kind of goes back just a little bit. Just kind of basically what I'd like to do is give you an outline. You remember Deborah, one of the judges. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinadab, in that day saying, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves." You see another lesson that was given there, offering up themselves willingly to do it. They weren't being forced to do it. They gave themselves willingly, and that's what the Lord is asking of us. As you read through this, you'll see more that talks about the willingness to give of self. How many of you remember Samson? You probably remember that account, don't you? There's a lot there to read. I mean, there'd be a lot to cover, a few chapters to cover there, about three or so chapters to cover. His parents took the Nazarene vow. You read that through Numbers 6 and 1 through 8. You can kind of go back through there and read that. Jephthah is not a very common name that I've heard. Judges 11, verses 1 through 12. 11, 1 through 12, 7. A couple of chapters there. The Ammonite oppression of Israel. Again, remember how they would have up and down. What would happen is they would be relieved. And then it would happen again. They would be delivered. And then it would happen again because they would fall. You get on down to 1 Samuel, getting closer to our Sunday school and what we're talking about there. 1 Samuel, you see Samuel, the prophet, and how he led and how he ran. And the people, remember, they didn't want a prophet anymore. They basically were ashamed of what they had. They wanted a king like the other nations. That's kind of what you see happening today. A lot of times, if you're not careful, even in churches, people say, "Well, what are you doing over there? We got to do what you're doing." No, we got to do what the Lord wants us to do. That's the importance. I talked a lot on Sunday, preached about studying. That's the importance of knowing where God would have us to stay and staying in His Word and following His Word and not following somebody else. God wants us to stay and follow Him. You see, again, the children of Israel made that mistake over and over in following self. And then I'm going to go back through in David. There would be so much to account there. 1 Samuel 16 through 17, you can read those and go back and read those accounts. And again, Sunday school is a great place to pick up on what we've been studying there. But let's go back to Hebrews and we'll finish out and get ready for our meeting, our business meeting. You kind of see how it goes from the names that you may or may not have heard or studied or read. And some of those are not common that he covers there. But he gives ample, Paul gives ample examples to people to go back through and follow. But in verse 33 in Hebrews 11, he kind of furthermore explains how these people did what they did. It's not about their name and about them. It's never, that would be giving the flesh credit, but it's what they did through faith. And it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms. They wrought or worked righteousness. They obtained promises. Stop the mouths of lions. You see that with King David, young David. Quenched the violence of the fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of the weakness, out of their weakness was made strong. That's when the Lord really shines in a person's life. We can see that today, I think. I think we see that and realize that. At our weakest times, when we feel the most vulnerable, that's when the Lord helps us, seems most apparent in our life. You see, that's out of their weakness. They were made strong. They were waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. We saw that there with Gideon. Women received their dead raised again to life. Life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. that they might obtain a better resurrection. They stayed true. Even in conflict, they stayed true. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of the bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute and afflicted and tormented of the world, was not worthy, wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves in the earth. And I wanted to stop there, and it's been a while since I've read this, but I wanted to make mention of this. How many of you have heard of the Book of Martyrs, Fox's Book of Martyrs? I think I didn't have time to look at the house, but I think I do have a copy of that. But I also, if you haven't read it, encourage you to read that. Some of the things that our forefathers, Christians, had went through. And to give you an idea about the book, a little bit about it, it's written by John Fox, and it was written about the time of 1563. It starts with the stoning of Stephen, and it goes all the way down to the English history, if you will, in the time of Bloody Mary, the Queen Mary. I'll tell you how I remember her, if I'm not mistaken. I don't want to get too far out of line with that, but if I'm not mistaken, she was the one that had so many husbands. I remember this in English class. I had Miss Nance in English class, and she was the one that was married, beheaded, died with her husbands, and then married, beheaded, survived. One of her husbands actually lived through her. She's a mean person, and she had people killed all the time, and that's just kind of how that was. But that is the time frame that it talks about. It goes from Stephen, it goes from biblical times all the way through to 1563. The reason I wanted to make mention of that, I think sometimes people separate Bible history from what you call secular history, but I think this would be a good book that would kind of put those together. Sometimes they try to divide it, but I tell you, the Bible is history, and we need to see that and recognize it as that. Verse 39, it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, that's what it was all about. The reward was because they trusted God. The rewards that you and I will be because we trusted God. In the face of unbeatable odds and unbearable odds and what have you, that is what we will be looking at. I just want to encourage us to stay faithful. I see things, and not picking on anybody, not giving any names, but I see people who I thought knew better, who I really thought were in the fight, was going to stand and really going to do things. I see things that they're saying and doing now, and I'm telling you, it breaks my heart. I really don't think they understand the magnitude of what they're doing. I really don't. And I pray that I never do that. I'll just be honest with you. I would rather the Lord take me than to be a stumbling block to anybody. It's not about me, but I see things and I think about that. And I remember when the Lord was dealing with me about preaching, I said, Lord, I don't ever want to bring reproach on the church. If it ever got to that point, Lord, just take me home. I don't want it to, it's too important. You see these examples that are given to us. You don't want to see those things broken down. And all these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. See, the Lord hadn't returned. The Lord hadn't come. Jesus hadn't come yet. They were looking for that promise. They were hoping for that promise. And you might say, a person, if they get on down in time, say, I don't know if he's coming or not. I'm just going to kind of do what I want to do. I think sometimes maybe people do that. Do you know why people do what they do? I don't know. You ever get tired of being faithful? You think about that and say, I don't know. It ain't worth it. I'm not going to do it. It's worth it. I want to challenge us to know that. It's worth it. It breaks my heart to see people make bad decisions, but I want us to know it's worth it. These people received a good report through their faith, and they were faithful all the way through. They messed up, made mistakes, but they were faithful. They stayed with God. In verse number 40, it said, God having provided some better thing for us. I'm thankful for that. I see here a difference. We've talked a lot about the Old Testament. And I see also here in Hebrews how we're in the New Testament, but I believe Paul is making a break here from the Old Testament law, having the cross, and then what it's like in this time of grace. I believe is what he's talking about here. God having provided some better thing for us on this side of the cross in the grace age, that they without those that were outside of the grace age, those under the law, living in a different dispensation, should not be made perfect. And I just want to say, this is me, my thought on this, and the way the Lord showed it to me, I believe this is talking about the inner dwelling that you and I have of the Holy Spirit on this side. We have a guide on the inside. Now, I value that, the Holy Spirit. Again, talking about studying, talking about making decisions, and not just having, you imagine if you didn't have the inner dwelling, what that would be like in your life. Those of you that are saved, well, you recall what it was like when you were lost, before you had that inner dwelling, there's a change that takes place. And I'm not talking about a conscience and things like that. I'm talking about the inner dwelling of the Holy Spirit that guides you and shows you. And that's the importance of it. And I believe that is what Paul is making reference to here. So I'm gonna stop there. And I know I told Brandy, I said, pray, because this is going to be a broken message. It's going to be a broken lesson, because it covers a whole lot. And I kind of wanted just to touch a little bit on each one. But go back and read that and study that there in Judges. That'll kind of put some of those things in place, and you can see how things change. You can see how government's been created. Their government there is created. You can kind of see how all those things come together. It's obviously a big study, but I think you can see it as it comes together. But I'll stop there. We